Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 73. On Tuesday morning when I did matins, I asked the students what important day in our family history is today, and not a single student knew, and other than Mrs. West, I don't think anyone else knew that was there, that it was Epiphany. So I thought I should at least make a little acknowledgement this morning that we all might, if that is one aspect of our understanding of our family history, we don't quite get. Epiphany is a continuation in many ways of the celebration of Christmas and Advent, of the incarnation. And in Epiphany, there's this acknowledgement that the real greatness of the incarnation was that with Jesus coming, that God revealed himself in ways that were hidden in old, that the curtain was torn and access was given. And all throughout the Gospels, we more and more see God through Christ. And we know, I think we're familiar with the term epiphany as kind of a new eyesight. We see something for the first time. It's an epiphany for us. But the epiphany season is that God revealed himself. For the first time this week when I heard that Matthew reading, it was the first time that I thought of that was my baptism. You know, we have one baptism, that when God opened up in the heavens and said, that's my son, when we're baptized, that's the baptism that we receive, that God actually says those words to us. God actually loves us as he does Jesus. That's what it means to be in Christ. What a glorious revelation. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. So in the Epiphany season, we celebrate that God has made himself known to us and reveals himself over and over again through his word. Psalm 73, we sang it earlier this week in Matins, and I was just so compelled. And I thought I should make a commitment for the rest of my time, however long that may be, as pastor, when Psalm 73 comes up on the lectionary, that I'm going to preach on it. I just think it's one of those ones, you know, we're on this cycle that it's about every 3 years we get through the Psalter. But every time Psalm 73 comes up, I think I need to preach on it just because I need it. And there may be one or two others in here that might relate to it the way that I do. But when I was singing it this week in Matins, I couldn't help but think, that is just how I think. And even though it's a personal psalm, it's one psalmist writing of his personal experience, God put it in the Psalter and wanted his people to sing it, because I think that it is something that relates to all of us. And it's interesting that God wanted us to sing these words on a regular basis, on some type of regular basis, to sing this particular prayer. And I think we have to, if we step back from that a moment, we would say it's because he thinks it would be helpful for us, that it would be beneficial. This personal psalmist experience in Psalm 73 would be helpful to us. And I know that it is for me. As I found as I was singing the words, these are words I say. These are familiar to me. And part of, you know, this commitment we have to the Psalter is that we have this commitment that the Psalter is the songbook of life, that it is Jesus' songbook. It's better than, there's a lot of good hymnals out there, but there's none better than Jesus' hymn book. And Jesus gave us this to help us in writing our hymn books and to provide a songbook for his people, because his people are a singing people, because they're a happy people. And there are people that like to sing forth praise and to glorify the word. So the Psalter deals with all aspects of our life, good and bad, challenge and blessing. And the church has been strongest when it has been committed to the Psalter. When you study church history, the times where the church took the Psalter serious is the time when it was most triumphant in history. And it's the reason why here the elders are committed. Now, no matter how long it takes us, we're going to have this book be familiar to us. It's going to be a part of our life. And we're going to be grounded in the Psalter. It's our standard for our faith. I've been recently blessed, and I've had opportunities over the last few years to go and participate in some Roman Catholic services, some funerals and some regular services. And one thing that I am most grateful for that is a change from my youth is the commitment that that church has to the Psalter. They, like us, do a psalm every week. They're uncompromising on it. In any, pretty much any service you go to there, you're going to have a psalm that's going to probably be done with a back and forth between the cantor and the congregation. But they're committed to the Psalter, and I commend them for that. And I think that bodes well for them moving forward, that the Psalter is a part of their life, because it's an important part of Scripture. So let's look at Psalm 73. I'm going to start out just reading verse 1 to 16. And again, as I'm reading, I'm interested to see if you can relate to the words, whether you can see yourself saying these, because that's the most compelling part of this for me, is these are words I say a lot, more often than I ought to say. It starts out pretty basic, good theology, but then it immediately turns to this kind of perverted view that sometimes enters our minds. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, you probably heard, this is probably the least confessed sin that there is in the Bible, envy. We very rarely hear someone confessing this sin. But here the psalmist sings it out, that he's envious of the foolish. At their prosperity in particular, he finds very irritating. And he is acknowledging that his feet have slipped. That is particularly relevant to me. I was sharing in Sunday school, I have this weird condition now that I have no feeling from, right about here on my leg down to my toes. I don't have any feeling. So I walk, there's nothing there. It's just weird. It doesn't hurt. It's just weird. I'm going to try to play in a basketball game at the end of the month with the police department, and I went to practice the other night and tried running up and down the court. You got to try doing that when you don't have any feeling in your feet. It is the strangest thing. I felt like I was in someone else's body trying to play a game that I, used to be halfway decent at, but it was so bizarre. And I understand the thing of slipping. Like yesterday I came here, and this whole parking lot was a skating rink yesterday, and I had to actually skate from my car to the doors. And I try skating when you don't have any feeling in your feet. It is just bizarre. And I had stuff in my hand, and I got halfway, and then I thought, this was stupid to bring all this stuff. I'm going to smash my computer. I'm going to fall flat on my face. The computer's going to be smashed. What am I doing? But I made it. But here he's saying, he's acknowledging the fact he slipped off the path. He knows he's not in his right mind, but it's how he feels. And that's the way it is sometimes. Sometimes when we've wandered away and we're looking at the fools and we're looking at the rebels and we look at them prospering and say, this isn't right. Why is this? How come they get all this stuff and they don't even serve God, and look what they're experiencing? You ever done that? Ever had someone that you interact with that could care less about pleasing the Lord Jesus and could care less about any of his standards. And it seems like everything they touch is going right, and you just scratch. This shouldn't be. Why is this? Verse 4, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Me. Not like me. I'm always in trouble. Everything falls apart for me. Nothing works for me. But for them, everything seems to go right. Neither are they plagued like other men. What's he really saying? Neither are they plagued like me. Therefore, pride compassed them about as a chain. You know, pride's a bad thing, and they wear it like it's a jewelry. They boast of their pride. Violence covereth them as a garment. They're not afraid to tear things apart. They're not afraid to oppress. They attack people and don't even think about it. It doesn't even bother them. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They're not just blessed. They're really blessed. They have everything you could ever want. They are so well fed, their eyes are almost bursting. Verse 8, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They're full of themselves. They set their mouth against the heavens. They even take on God. They mock God right to his face. And their tongue walketh through the earth. They're never afraid to tell you what they think. Therefore, as people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? It's foolish. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now that I think about it, this has all been a waste of time for me. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I spent all this time trying to serve God, and it's in vain. It's stupid. Why do I do it? Doesn't matter. And washed my hands in innocence. I actually took time to make sure I did things the right way. Why? What a waste. Doesn't make any difference. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. I've tried to do the right thing, and I've over and over and served God, and all I get is grief. I'm sick all the time. I'm plagued. I'm overwhelmed in grief. What a waste of time. This is so. And this is the psalmist saying these words. This isn't the ungodly guy, this is a good guy. This is us. We're, God wants us to sing these words. Why? Because he knows that we've already spoken them. I'm chastened every morning. I don't even want to get up. I've got it so bad. Nothing good ever happens to me. It always happens to everyone else. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Here's the problem. This is a big problem. It'd be one thing if we did this, you know, kind of all alone out in the woods, laid our griefs to bear. But the problem is we do this stuff right in front of others, and we do it in front of our children and our grandchildren that are looking to us for an example. And that's a big problem. It hurts the kingdom. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Here he's being honest. He's acknowledging the words that he says. He's acknowledging the way that he felt. He knows it's deadly to the kingdom. And he knows He knows it's wrong. It's just painful him to even think that he uttered the words and that he thought that way. So what do you do? How do you get over this? What is the solution? The solution is the truth. What do you do when you get overwhelmed like this? Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then the cobwebs were cleared out. Then I heard a true word. Not my fallacies, not these gripes and complainings, but when I ran to the sanctuary, God spoke, and I heard the truth. And the truth is far different than the plea. What is the truth? What do you hear when you come to the sanctuary? You hear it is not well for those fools. You hear the truth about those fools. Then I understood their end. Then I saw the fool totally different when I was in the sanctuary. Because there I was near God and I saw God. And I realized that the fool's not there. He doesn't enjoy the blessing of truth. He doesn't enjoy heavenly care. Surely thou didst set them in slippery place. It's not us that's in the slippery place. They're in the slippery place. Thou camest down into destruction. Their end. When you get into the sanctuary and God speaks, you hear a totally different story. They're on a pathway to destruction. They're not prospering. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. One of the things you learn in the scripture is the high and mighty, the proudful, sometimes they fall and it's just like that. The destruction comes. They are utterly consumed with terrors. You know, they may parade around the land like a peacock, boasting in their pride, but when the judgment comes, they are in terror, and you hear these stories of the people that work in the nursing homes and in the hospitals and in senior citizen care places, of the people that die in terror, screaming on their deathbed. It's not pretty. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Now, we know God doesn't sleep. The scripture tells us that. But we're given this image that really what it seems like, the reason that we have these perplexing things to deal with, in a sense, God is waiting to deal with them in his timing. And so to us, it seems like God finally woke up and dealt with the rebel. But he will deal with them. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. You know, part of what happens when you're in the sanctuary is you begin to look at the fool differently. You don't envy him. You empathize with him. You realize his condition, and you have a heart bent to speaking the truth and helping him. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. When we see ourselves doing this, woe is me. Life is horrible for me. We want to remember Psalm 73 and say, I'm becoming like a beast. I'm becoming like who I used to be. How foolish. What's the reality? What should we be grateful for? Verse 23, nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. What's the reality? We're not forgotten. We're cared for. We have a heavenly Father. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Not only are we privileged, God's walking with us, holding our hand.
in Christ, we're the beloved son. You know, I always, when I teach that Matthew 3 to my students in Bible class, I always say, when I come to that part, instead of reading the scripture, I say, that's my boy and I really like him. Because in a way, that's paraphrasing what God the Father says there. And it's how we want to understand. That's how God views us. We're beloved sons, beloved daughters. He loves strolling with us. He's guiding us along the way. He's a good father. I am continually with thee. Thou hast holding me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Not only is he holding my hand and guiding me, he's telling me things on the walk that will help me. What a privilege. And afterwards, receives me in glory. There's the reality. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Now he's singing. Now he's not whining. Now he's singing of the reality of the kingdom. This is what the sanctuary does. Why do we come running to the sanctuary? Because we need to be brought back to reality. The sanctuary reminds us of the privilege of faith and the goodness of our King and Father. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. Now he's speaking the truth. Now he's found himself. Now he knows what's good and what's right. Verse 28, a beautiful, beautiful closing. But it is good for me to draw near to God. Is it ever? Amen. Yes, it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Not declare this foolishness. Oh, look at that guy. He's got everything. Oh, boy, I wish I could be like him. But let's say the truth. Let our desire be altered and corrected. And that's really what Psalm 73 does. It turns us from the slippery path to the true path. It takes us from what we sing at home when we've drifted away to what we sing when we draw near and our eyes are open and we see things as they really are. It gives us a true song, a good song. You guys might not need this, but I think at least once every 3 years I need to consider this, because I surely say this far too often. As I look around and see things, it's quick for me to envy people I have no right envying. People that really in reality would be, if they could see things as they are, would be envying me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the truth of your word. Help us, O Lord, to see things clearly. Help us to always run to the sanctuary when we find ourselves slipping away, that we might hear a true word that might shake us back to our senses and faithfulness unto thee. We thank you, Lord, for all that we enjoy in your care. Bless us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.